came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Brother Chris, how far along are you in Bible college?
I'll find out this week.
He may not be as far along as he thought. Amen. Brother Chris feels like God has called him to be a second man, and he's a blessing to us in our Bible college. God's preparing him for service. Well, we've asked young men this morning, young pastors, that have been a blessing to our school and a supporter of our school and an encourager of this preacher to preach this morning. And our first speaker is such a man. We're grateful for the way God has blessed Brother David Grice. Started a brand new church there in Grand Prairie, Lighthouse Baptist Church. He sends students to our Bible college and has been a great blessing. You will enjoy hearing Brother David Grice preach. It's a delight to have his wife with us, and we ask you to continue to pray for her. This year has not been a good year for her health-wise. She's had some health problems over the last 12 months. And pray with us that God will bring about complete healing in her life. Brother David Grice, thank you for coming. Thank you for being our friend, our encourager, and a friend to Trinity Baptist Bible College. Come and preach, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Make sure you turn this off.
Okay. Good. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's a blessing. And I thank God for Trinity Baptist Church and the Bible College that's here and the Academy. We have good friends in the church. We have church members in the college and my niece in the Academy. Amen. And my nephew's on the way. So buckle up. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 2 Peter in chapter number 1. 2 Peter in chapter number 1. Let's all stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity on a Thursday morning to gather together around your word. Father, I just pray that you bless the preachers to follow. I pray that you'd use each message. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray, Father, that this morning, working in our hearts, that you might have your way and will in each and every life that's here. Lord, I pray that you'd help me this morning, and I pray that you'd use the message to try to be a blessing to someone this morning. We love you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Through those first 11 verses, there's a lot of talk about knowing Him, just knowing God. And because we know God, we can know a lot of other things. You can know about love if you know God, but I don't believe you can know about love if you don't know God. But this morning, I want to talk about remembering. Now, I'm not a big fan of hearing about how guys used to could do it and we can't do it today. I'm not a big fan of people trying to discourage me by telling me how the world's changed and God can't do something today through our churches that he did 50 years ago. I'm not for that junk. I didn't believe that stuff before I got saved, and I don't believe it now. But I know this, we do well to remember. We do well not to forget. Not to forget those that have gone before us, not to forget the things that God has done. See, by remembering what God has done, you can remember what He can do. And sometimes we need to be encouraged in what God can do. When we have our weaknesses, we have our discouragements, when we get down and out and someone hurts us and we had personal disappointments and maybe we disappoint ourselves, it's just good to remember that God's still on the throne and it's all about Him. And we're just supposed to be a tool in His hand to get the job done. And I just think we'd do well to remember. Number one, I think we ought to remember His provision. Look again at verse number 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. He's given us some things. First of all, it says He's given unto us all things that pertain to life. Hey, everything you need in your life has been given to you by God. We don't need the things of the world. We don't need the plans of the world. We don't need the products of the world. This is what we need. We've got from God. We don't have to change the program just because it doesn't look like it's working. It could be a test from God. Maybe God's just waiting to see us stay faithful to His program. There's too many guys quitting. Too many guys changing. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You're not going to find godliness in somebody's program. You're not going to find godliness in permissiveness. Now, I get accused of being a legalist because we try to maintain some level of standards. Because we have try to maintain some level of separation, suddenly I'm a legalist and I'm hateful. Well, I just believe that there's standards and separation in the Bible. Hey, God put it in the book because that's what He wants us to have. He's given us everything that we need. We have it in the Bible. We know through common sense as a Christian, you have it because the Holy Spirit of God is inside you. It speaks to your heart. Listen, you know what's right to live a good godly life. God's given it to you to know. We do well to remember that everything we have to help us live a good godly life has been given to us by God, and we ought to just use it. You're not going to know what God wants you to do if you don't read His book. You're not going to know what God wants you to do if you don't talk to Him on a daily basis. You're just not going to understand. You're not going to know what God wants you to do if you're not paying attention. There's times I come home and wifey will give me that look. I can't really describe the look. But it's a look nevertheless. And I realize that at some point I've not paid attention. And I sure wish that I had. And usually we discuss it for a while, maybe pray about it. You can pray out loud. Real loud at times. And you know what it does? It helps you to remember. Because see, I want to please my wife. I done already stood up in front of a bunch of family and folks and friends and promised I was going to try to make her happy. And I'd do well to do that. But do you realize that I got saved when I was a 9-year-old kid? And even as a 9-year-old kid, right after I got saved, I made my way up to the baptistry. And I gave a testimony through my baptism that I was a child of the King. Hey, through my baptism, I gave a testimony to those that were present, those that would hear my testimony later, that not only had He become my Savior, but I wanted Him to be my Lord. Oh, Jesus is a lot of people's Savior. He's just not a lot of folks' Lord. And there is a difference. See, Him becoming your Savior describes what He's done for you. Him becoming your Lord describes what you can do for Him. We just do well to remember. And how are you going to remember? Well, look again there in verse number 3. We don't have to run far. It says, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. We just need to get to know Him. Well, how do you get to know your friends? How do you get to know your spouse? You got to spend time with them. You communicate with them. Listen, you try to do things that please them. You are thankful when they do things to please you. It's just about building a good relationship. We'd do well to remember that. So remember His provision, but I like this. I like to remember His promises. Look at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now I tell you what, if God gives you a promise, it's good to go. I mean, it's just settled. It's settled here. It's settled in heaven. But not just promise, but the Bible says precious promises. We have precious promises from the Lord. And not just promises and not just precious promises, but great and precious promises. Now, you're getting into some good stuff here. You're talking about great and precious promises. You're talking about promises that say you're going to miss hell. You're talking about promises and not just missing hell and ended up in Cleveland somewhere. I'm talking about missing hell and getting to go to heaven. Hey, I'm talking about it. If we'll get our head on straight, we'll get this thing right. Talking about showing up in heaven as if that's not good enough, but having reward in heaven. Great and precious promises. But not just great and precious promises, but exceeding great and precious promises, what verse 4 says. Boy, I like it. Listen, some people say, well, I'd just be happy with a little cabin over in the corner of heaven. Not me, Jack. I want all I can get. You say, that's not right, Brother Grice. Well, my God said that He's going to bless me and He's going to give me exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, I'm not looking for some little leftover built out of scrap wood in the corner. My God said I got a mansion coming up in glory. Look, I'm looking to try to decorate that things by the things I do here. I want reward there. Hey, I don't need prizes here. I don't need accolades here. I'm not getting them, so it's a good thing. And I don't need a plaque to hang on the wall. I don't need a trophy. Listen, I want to please my Lord because I believe that He's still rewarding folks that are faithful. Exceeding great and precious promises. Also, I'm thankful for His provision. Hey, I want to remember His provision and His promises, but I also want to remember the process. There's a process to getting any of these things. Look at verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Listen, friend, you don't just start off one day and all of a sudden you get saved at on the front doorstep or on the couch in your living room or down at the altar, and all of a sudden you pack your bags and you're heading off to the mission field. That's not how it happens. It takes a while. There's folks been saved a long time, love the Lord. Missionaries struggling to try to get enough to get off to the mission field. I think it's a crime. I think it's selfishness. I think it's a lack of faith on the basis of a bunch of churches. I tell you what, to do all we can to try to get the missionaries to the field. Why? Because when he talks about those great and precious promises up in verse number 4, it says that talks about that we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, he's talking about us getting saved. And after we get saved, we ought to start growing in the Lord. Now, you're going to have to be fed. And you ain't going to be fed at the house. You're going to have to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God. You're going to have to pray to God. And part of praying is just listening. But we are so quick. We come in, God, I need this. Got to go. Next day you come in, oh God, I need this. God says, hold on, I got to go. We're so busy that sometimes we don't just shut up and listen. Friends, sometimes, I'm not trying to be unkind, but sometimes in prayer we do good just to shut up and listen. God may be trying to tell you something. God, you know what? God got a funny way of clearing folks' schedule. I know some people that, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. Preacher, I can't come to church. You don't understand. Sunday's my only day, and I got this, and I've got that. Next thing you know, I'm visiting them in the hospital, and I always tell them, I'm real shy about it. I tell them, looks like God cleared off your schedule. Not so busy now. Let me tell you what I preached on last week, and then I just go right through it with them and have a word of prayer. So God wanted you to hear it. I believe that. Listen, I just don't understand how people expect God. They treat God like he's Santa Claus. And he can just run in. You know, they're going to go down their list. Surely they haven't been naughty. They always seem to be nice. You ask them, they'll tell you they're great people. Nice, kind. Love the Lord. You can't see them. But they're like undercover, covert Christians. Oh, they love him. They just don't want everybody to know about it. Don't want to be a fanatic about it. We don't want anybody to see us get excited about the Lord. Oh, we can't get a holy grunt out of somebody on a Sunday morning in church, but let some little idiot 8-year-old kid knock a ball up against a fence and everybody's going to hoopla about getting a fist fight over that thing. Let some NFL star catch a stinking football, run in the end zone and watch him do some little stupid dance. Hey, Jack, you got paid $6 million to catch that ball. Why aren't you dancing? Go back and catch another one. We get excited about dumb stuff. Hear people all the time talking about, where they went and ate and something they went and saw and all this kind of nonsense. Can't even tell you what the preacher preached about last week. And said, maybe it wasn't all that good. I don't know, it's good enough for the 3 or 4 that came down and got saved. It's good enough for the 20 or 30 that hit the altar and it seemed like they wanted to make a change in their life. Hey, I just tell you something, friend. We'd do well to remember that there's a process and it's a growth in Christ, and you're not going to get it sitting at the house. You're not going to get it with your arms folded, doing your checkbook while the preacher's preaching. You're not going to do it trimming your nails, thinking about something else. I'm telling you, you're going to have to get our minds focused on the things of God if we're going to grow in Him. The end of the process is charity. And charity means love put into action. If somebody loves little orphan kids enough, they'll start a charity and put that love into action to try to help them. The end of it all is charity. You can't even do anything for anybody else till you start growing in Christ. We put a Jesus fish on our car and we expect that. That's our testimony. I got a t-shirt that says, if you think it's hot here, wait till you get to hell. And that's my Christianity. When was the last time you cut somebody off in traffic and they saw your little Jesus fish and said, you know what? I see a Jesus fish. You know what? I'd just like to repent of my sins right now. I'm going to pull over and just ask Jesus into my heart. It's going to take more than the t-shirt to help somebody into heaven, friend. It's going to take more than our little Jesus fish or our scripture sign put up somewhere. It's going to take our growth in Christ so we can learn to live right and to do right and have a right testimony so that when you do actually get to the point to have some charity and start to witness to somebody that you'll have a good enough testimony they might halfway believe you. It can start with stop forwarding the dirty emails. Matter of fact, a lot of it can start just getting off the computer a little bit. You could kick a hole in your TV and use it as a birdhouse. See, if all you do is put garbage in, all that's going to come out is garbage. But if we're going to grow in Christ, if we're going to go through God's process, we need to remember His process. Because if we'll remember and go through the process, He can put some good things in that good things might come out. Hey, listen, you're already saved. You're already going to heaven. What about everybody else? I tell you, I think God wants us to do for others what someone's done for us. And we can't do that unless we grow in Christ. We need to remember the process. We need to remember His priority. Look again at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, God wants us to be fruitful. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's a lot of foolish Christians that aren't doing anything about trying to win somebody. I tell you, I just think that it's a sin before God. I think it's all sin is selfishness. And I think the ultimate act of selfishness is to allow someone to share the gospel of Christ with you. You accept Christ and get saved. And then don't ever share that beyond yourself. I'm shocked and amazed at the number of Christians that I talk to that have never led anybody to the Lord. We try to take. I try to convince our people that they don't have to talk if they don't want to, if they'll go out with us, that they can just come and be a silent partner. I know I need a silent partner because I'm not a good silent partner. I'm not good at all at being a silent partner. We get in there, I just about explode trying to be a silent partner, and then I just end up messing it all up. And Brother Lassiter taught me better than that, but I still, I'm not a good silent partner, so I need silent partners. And I try to help them understand, and we try to explain to folks that if they'll just come, and then usually after we lead somebody to the Lord, somebody will say, man, it's the first time I've ever seen that happen. That's a crying shame. I'm talking about people that have been saved 15, 20, 30 years. And they've never seen anybody even led to the Lord. Never seen anybody won to Christ. Much less ever having led somebody themselves. The Bible says that we're supposed to become fruitful. And then look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, if you've forgotten the process of growth that you see there in 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you forget that process, then you're never going to grow and you're never going to be fruitful. You're going to lack those things. And verse number 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I tell you what you can't see. You can't see the judgment day where your neighbors and your family members and the people that you've come across are going to stand before God and come up short because they don't have the blood of Christ covering their sins, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's what we're blinded and we can't see if we don't grow in Christ. We can't see afar off and have forgotten that he that doesn't have these things says hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Friend, we're supposed to be remembering. Never forget that it was a holy and a righteous God that saved your sorry soul. God was the only one who loved your soul. Your mama might have liked you a little bit. Your daddy tolerated you. But it was God Almighty in heaven who loved you enough to send his son. Your daddy wanted to send you to military school. But God sent his son. I'm telling you, friend, we got to remember to do for others what someone has already done for us. We have to remember his process. And I tell you what helps me to remember the process is remembering the prize. Boy, I tell you what, I like a prize. I like a prize. Me and wife, we didn't even take our niece and nephew. It was awful. We went to Chuck E. Cheese. And we walked in the door and they wanted to stamp our hands. I said, we don't need that. They said, they were looking all around, you know, looking around me. And I said, there's nobody here. We just came to eat. Amen. But we didn't just come to eat. I wanted to play the games. And I went over there and started playing skee ball. And all of a sudden I realized my score was getting pretty good and I almost won the prize. Man, I put another token in there. I won the prize. That thing kept spitting the tickets out. And then I went over and I said, oh, the machine's out of tickets. And the guy came over and goes, who won them? Who won them? I said, I did. He said, are you winning all these tickets? I said, I want the prize. I love a prize. But better than anything they got at Chuck E. Cheese, God's got us hooked up for all eternity. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, what a prize. What a prize. David Grice gets to go to heaven. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk? Man, I tell you, I talk to old friends and they can't hardly believe it. I talk to people I went to school with and say, oh, hey, David Grice, what are you doing nowadays? I go, man, I'm pastoring a church. They go, no, really, what are you doing? I said, I'm telling you, man, I'm pastoring a church in down in Grand Prairie. And they're going, no, really. Really? I tell them, yeah, man, God's good. God is better than I'm bad. God's better than I'm bad. And I've been bad. But where sin did abound, whoo, glory to God, grace did much more abound. Now, should I keep on sinning so he can keep on gracing? No. God forbid, Paul said. That's part of that growth process. But see, I realized a long time ago, I'd gotten rotten and backslidden and I just got God ignoring and I wasn't going through the process. I had forgotten what had been done for me. I'd forgotten what God had wanted from me. And I got to a place and I said, oh Lord, I just want to get back. And I'd been gone for years. And I turned around getting ready to make a year's worth of journey back. But he was right there. Well, I tell you, we got a great, good God. Hey, guess what? He means those exceeding great and precious promises that he talks about. He means them. Just like he wrote them, he means them. And boy, you turn around and God's right there. Oh, and he just takes you lovingly. And I would do a little bit of good. And he'd do a whole bunch of good. Now listen, I know a little bit about investing. If I invest a little and get a lot, ain't no telling what's going to happen if I invest a lot. I tell you what, God has been so good to us. You just think I was bragging. All I ever want to do is brag on him. But I tell you what, we've got a God in heaven that loves his people. And he keeps his word. He's faithful and just all the time. Well, I like his prize. Can I just tell you, friend, that God is keeping score? And he's still rewarding those that are faithful to him. Only a fool would settle for men's rewards down here and jeopardize the loss of reward in heaven. But you can mark it down. Everything that we do in our life, in our bodies, whether it be good or bad, is going to be tried by fire. Whether it be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. And I'm telling you that after the trial is done, if all you've ever built on is wood, hay, and stubble, friend, you will suffer loss. That's Scripture. You will suffer loss. You say, I can't go to heaven? No, you're just not going to have anything when you get there. You're liable to have a mansion that echoes for all eternity. Ain't got nothing in it. I'm telling you, he's a rewarder. And he's willing to give a prize to those who are faithful. And they just want to serve him and just want to love him. Listen, you don't have to be a hero. Just don't be a zero. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot in between today. Boy, if somebody will read their Bible and pray every day, we're all excited. That's what we're all supposed to do. That's not supposed to be some wild characteristic of some fanatic who happens to love God. That ought to be the very basis. That ought to be the standard that we're reading our Bible and praying every day and we don't miss church. And listen, we're where we're supposed to be on time. I just wonder about people who show up consistently late for church all the time. Or they show up late for soul winning or for choir practice or for teacher's meeting. Hey, I just wonder about that. What is it about your time that makes it more important than God's time? I just thought I'd throw that in. That's not part of the message. I just had to get that off my chest. See, it's not a matter of your time and my time. Hey, if it's teacher's meeting or if it's choir practice or if it's church time, listen, that's his time. What do you got going on that's more important than his time? Again, God's got a funny way of clearing off our schedules. I think we ought to take heed. Listen, friend, we need to remember. If we don't remember, we'll continue to repeat the same mistakes again and again. If we don't remember, we won't appreciate what we have. If we don't remember, we're going to start doing our will instead of God's will. If we don't remember, we're going to allow our churches to start to drift. And there's plenty of them drifting. The hardest time for a church is when a preacher retires or when a preacher dies. If the people don't remember what they've been taught out of the book, the church is going to drift. Listen, friends, we've got to remember. And if we don't remember, we're going to stop trying to win people to the Lord. We're going to start trying to win popularity. I'm so sick and tired, man. You'll be trying to look at something. You get an advertisement in. You'll see some preacher in his little polo shirt sitting up on a bar stool talking about Jesus was talking to his dudes and all this kind of nonsense. Well, I tell you what, I'm not for that junk. I don't think God is either. You say, oh, Brother Grice, but they had 10,000. They had 15,000. Hey, the Cowboys could probably get about 40,000. I don't think God's in that either on Sundays. We get to a place where we forget. We get to a place where we refuse to remember. I'm telling you, friends, remembering is going to help us out a lot. Now, if you know me very well, you know I don't like to live in the past. And I don't think we're ever going to be effective as Christians if we live in the past. Hey, I don't think our churches are going to grow if we try to live in the past. But we're fools if we don't remember. We're doomed for disaster if we don't remember. We must always remember.
Amen. Amen. That was good, Brother Grice. Just a couple of observations.